Dustin, you remember where you were when I first met you?
Yes, sir. Taqueria Rosita.
Taqueria Rosita. Hey, good things come out of these Mexican restaurants. I'm just telling you. And it wasn't even restaurant night. It was something else. And what a joy. I think you were maybe 10th grade or something at that time. I forget. But what a joy. Excited for what the Lord's doing in your life. If you have your Bibles, let's turn them to two places. We'll look at Psalms 122 for just a moment. Psalms 122. And this was one of the songs of degrees. You'll see this, you Bible scholars. And that means you read this when you're running a temperature. And so if you've, maybe not, huh, Pastor Matt? Look, he's fact-checking everything I'm saying. That's what makes me nervous, these guest pastors being here. He's got this little something. I don't know what he's got in his hand. But notice here in Psalm 122, this was actually songs sung as the Israelites were ascending up toward Jerusalem to the temple. And that's what these were. So Psalm 122, notice the first verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice those two plural pronouns there, they and us. So David said, I was in the right crowd. I mean, I'm heading to the house of the Lord, and the people I was with, they were glad. We were all headed up to the house of the Lord. And that's a great study in itself. Then I want you to look over to Acts chapter 2 for a moment, and we see the church that Jesus started upon this church, upon this rock I'll build my church. But notice what it was like. Just want you to see just some of these highlights. Acts chapter 2. And look down, please, in verse number 41, the church Jesus started. What were the people like? What were the activities they did? And so notice, I doubt they had Mexican restaurant night. They probably had kosher night or something like that. But Acts 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The baptistry workers resigned after that Sunday. I guarantee you. Just all the robes and cleaning the baptistry water. And they continued steadfastly, notice, in the apostles' doctrine. So what we believe, is the rudder of the ship. It is important what we believe. Sometimes you'll hear people that are not well grounded in the Bible say, well, let's just get rid of all the doctrine. You know, let's forget the doctrine and let's just, no, you can't forget the doctrine, because what we believe affects how we behave. And so it says they continue in the apostles' doctrine. So there was teaching and preaching and breaking of bread. So that's why we know it was a Baptist church, because food was a priority. Look at that right there, man. Just three facts and then food. And then we see a little further in verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. Of course, the church was about to be persecuted. They were going to be scattered, and people were going to be traveling light. And they weren't going to be able to take everything they owned. They were selling things. They were putting the money at the apostles' feet, saying, whoever's needing this. And people were heading on missionary journeys. I mean, it was it's like that old gospel song, ain't take nothing for my journey now. They couldn't take anything. And it says, verse 46, and they continuing, here's how you do it, daily with one accord in the temple. So it was just a day at a time. So somehow this early church understood that. How did they undertake the persecutions? Just today. How did they keep serving the Lord? It was just today. It says daily with one accord they got together. Look. Had that little Honda Accord. Look, they had automobiles back then. They all got in the same car. Look, forget it. Wake up. In the temple, they were always in the temple on the same page, breaking bread house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness. Notice, church, a glad place, not a sad place, a happy place. Some people think a church service ought to be like a funeral parlor. We think it ought to be more like the Super Bowl. And singleness of heart. And notice what they did at church, praising God. I'm for clapping for the choir. I'm for clapping when someone plays a great special. But, you know, when it's all said and done, we really know it's all about him, praising God. having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So this church was so soul conscious that every day of the week somebody was getting saved. And it wasn't always inside the building. It was at work. It was in the marketplace. It was neighbors. It was when people were shopping, ladies doing their laundry. People were talking about Jesus. And we believe every day of the week people were being saved there. Let's have a prayer. And I want to just speak on this subject tonight. And I know you're here, so it's going to sound weird. Just get to church. Get to church. Just get to church. We had a man years ago that attended our church, and his favorite song would have been, "Prone to Wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to wonder." That was him. He'd be faithful in church for about 6 months, and then we wouldn't see him for months on end. Then he'd pull back in, "Hey, I'm back." He'd be in church for a while. And I remember he told me, he said, "I remember at a time of temptation," he said, "it was just strong temptation to just jump back into the world." He said, "I just pulled into the parking lot." He said, "I knew if I could just get to the church parking lot, my temptation would be over." You know, it's something special about church. It's something about it. I want to talk about that just a little while tonight. Father, bless this time. Help us. Thank you for the guests that are here. I pray you especially bless them. Help our sick. We got Aunt Judy back. She's still not feeling well. A lot of people just overcoming stuff, and others can't come because of illness, and they're listening online. Please, please, please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So here it is, quickly. Moses tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go." The story, they leave Egypt. And, of course, the Red Sea, it's a wonderful picture of salvation. They cross the Red Sea, not the Blue Sea. Baptism doesn't save us. Not the Green Sea, money doesn't save us. Not the Gold Sea, gold doesn't save us. The Red Sea, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. They cross the Red Sea, and just right away, Moses said, "I want you to spoil the Egyptians." You remember that part of the story, and maybe you wonder why. He said, "Borrow their jewelry, because we're going to have a feast to the Lord in the wilderness. You're going to sacrifice." Get this. The Egyptians worship the lambs. They worship the rams, Amen-Ra, the ram. So for Israel to kill their God and sacrifice it, not good. So they had to be 3 days out in the wilderness. And so God says, "You ladies, borrow jewelry so you'll look nice for the feast." They went to their Egyptian neighbors. "Hey, you got any gold? You got earrings that'll match this outfit? You got a necklace that'll match this? You have an ankle bracelet that'll match this?" And then the men said, "Do you have food?" And they borrowed, get this, they said, "You got any badger skin we can borrow?" "What? You got any badger skin? Hey, how about goat skin dyed red? You have some calf skin? What do you have? You got any boards we can have?" And on and on. And they borrowed all these things from the Egyptians, because when they went out, God knew that those Egyptians would chase them and the armies would be drowned in the Red Sea. Israel would be keeping all these things. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's a Bible verse there. So they spoiled them. Why did God tell them to do that? Here's why. Now Moses comes to them and says, "It's cough it up Sunday. It's give it all Sunday." He said, "We need gold. We're building a tabernacle. We need gold for the mercy seat. We need gold for the tassels. We need silver for some of the poles. We need all these things. We're making the breastplate for the high priest garment. We need diamonds. We need rubies. We need sapphires." And so all the things they borrowed from the Egyptians was to help make the tabernacle. So God says, "Now you're out of Egypt. First thing you need is a place to worship." He had them build the tabernacle. Later on, oh, by the way, every tent faced the tabernacle. So when you got up in the morning, you were facing the portable church building. Why? God says, "I want my presence to consume who you are and what you do." And later on, it becomes Solomon's temple. Later on, in the New Testament, it's the local synagogues where they met and read the scriptures. Then Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." And then the New Testament here, of course, after the Gospels, you've got Romans, scripture to the Romans, and then you've got Corinthians. You have all these books, they're letters to the local churches.
Amen.
And then you've got letters to the local pastors of those churches. Then you come to Revelation, and Jesus has seven letters to these seven churches. So God must be real interested in what happens in this one institution he started, the local church. The local church. You can't get any deeper than this. The Great Commission was given to the local church. Baptism was given to the local church. The Lord's Supper, except when some of our men buy cranberry juice instead of grape juice, is given to the Lord's, to the local church. So what is church? It's a place. You're right when you say, hey, we're going down to the church. That's okay to say that because it was a location. But church is also a people. So the real definition is a called out assembly, and don't forget this, called out of where? Called out of the world. Called out of the world. Don't bring the world with you into the church. And called out assembly of baptized believers. That's the church. So scripturally, you're the church. You're the church. We're the people. If you've ever visited a bus route or maybe a poor neighborhood, as you knock on the door, you'll hear the little kids say something like this, church is here, the church is here. You say, man, do I look like a church? You know, maybe my head's pointy like a steeple or something. The church is here, but they're telling it right. The church is there because you are the church. And not only that, number three, church is an event. It's an event. So every once in a while, it ought to be a service that at the end of church, you whisper, we had church tonight. God was present. A little boy went to church with his dad one Sunday, and he said, Dad, what was all that? He said, we went to God's house. And after a little while, the boy looked up at his dad, and he said, he wasn't home, was he? Boy, I'm hoping God is always home here at Hopewell Baptist. I'm hoping visitors that come, they just say, hey, and there was something about it. While they sang, someone else was talking to my heart. While he preached, it was someone else talking to my heart. God speaking. So let's describe the church for a moment. It is such a wonderful institution Jesus started. How do you describe it? Scripture gives us several ways. It's called a body. Every member is a part of the body. Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5, is the head. He turns it. He leads us. His thoughts ought to be our thoughts, but we're the parts of the body. And that means this, every part of this body is needed.
Amen.
If you don't think so, stump your little toe tonight. Wah! The whole body feels it. And scripture says, if one be honored, we all ought to rejoice with them. If one be hurting, we ought to all suffer with them. You know what I found out? It's easier to suffer with someone who's suffering than rejoice with someone that's rejoicing. Oh, you're hurting? Oh, we've been praying for you. Oh, you got a raise at work? Oh, you got a new, someone gave you a brand new car? Okay, just a thought. I'm just appealing to our carnal nature. It's a body. Number two, it's an army. It's interesting. It's an interesting word. As Israel came out of Egypt, you just Google, not now, but Google the word army. And pretty soon in Exodus, the word appears. And here's these slaves. It says they came out of Egypt. And as they walk in the wilderness, it says they are an army. Interesting. No weapons. They don't have spears and swords. But God says, we are part of God's army. And that little children's song, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. You are. Reporting for duty, sir. And we've got weapons of our warfare and so forth. Also, we're called a family. I still love the old gospel song. You may notice we say brother and sister around here because we're a family so dear. And that's a affectionate term. I love that. In the Philippines, they use that word ma'am a lot. What's that mean, Brother Gillum? Is it just like a word of honor for a sister or something, sister in the Lord. And it sounds like Mom Berna or Ma'am Berna. And it ought to be a lot of that in our church. Brother. Hey, brother. Little boy said, what you got to do to be a brother around this church? And I said, you have to be saved. Are you saved? He said, yep. I said, you're already a brother and you just didn't know it. Brother. Not only that, we're a garden. All throughout scripture, Jesus talks about the sower and the seed. We're God's garden. So every service, God, if he sees weeds, his Holy Spirit's going to try to pull something out of you. Sometimes he's going to see seeds and truths that need to be planted. Other times, he's going to see some fertilizer that needs to be dumped around you. We don't like that part. I don't like the weeding. Lord, don't take this away. I need this. And he said, no, it's just a weed, and he's pulling it out. Sometimes there's going to be things in life that smell and stink, and you say, this stinks. And God says, no, this is fertilizer. I'm trying to get some fruit out of you. Okay, write that down. Next time my life stinks, it's just God fertilizing me. Here's another one. We are called the bride of Christ. The bride. I don't know how many weddings have done been done here, but every bride that gets married guards that dress. If you ever see them, they bring the dress into the building. It's wrapped in plastic. And they're bringing it upstairs. They don't just hand it to some kid, hey, bring this in. And they're dragging it across the parking lot. Why? Because it's important, that first appearance. And so you want that dress to be clean. You want the bride to be faithful. And that's who we are. He says, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. My wife got this expensive blouse the other day. Let me see. What was the brand? T-E-M-U or something. And, maybe it wasn't Temu. It was somewhere else. I didn't know there was any other place. There's Temu and Walmart. And so she got this, nice blouse, and thank the Lord for submissive wives. When a wife says, does this look good on me? I don't like it. Okay. I won't wear it when you're here. And so she put this blouse on. She said, what do you think? I said, it's got a spot right there. She goes, it sure does. You know, all I noticed was the spot. And so we're to stay unspotted from the world. What is the church? It's a hospital. It's a hospital for the hurting. And people don't have to be well to come. They come here to help get well. And all sorts of background. I was telling someone, I had a visitor supposed to be here today. And I told someone, I said, they're hurting. They really need it. This person is broken. Hey, and that's what the church is all about. We're here to help with God's grace and the word of God and truth. Fix what's broken. Give them hope. Give them a direction. Nurse them back to spiritual health. What is the church? It's a college. It's a place where we learn things we never knew before. What is church? It's a restaurant. We serve milk. We serve honey. We serve meat. We serve water. We serve Mexican food tomorrow night. It's a restaurant. Nutrition. As you come, you're feeding, but you gotta swallow. You can't just smell it. You gotta swallow it. If it's the word of God, you gotta swallow it. And then it's also called God's house. God's house. God's house. To help us live life better. How are we supposed to come to church? You say, Pastor, you've given us too much stuff tonight and I may not finish. How are we supposed to come to church? We're supposed to come with thanksgiving. So that means as you come into any church service, have something on the tip of your tongue. You know, I'm so thankful for it, a person. Or, man, I'm so thankful I got to walk into church tonight. Man, I'm so thankful I live in America. You know, I'm so thankful I've got eyes to see. I saw Brother Ray today with that white cane. I'm so thankful. Come with thanksgiving. What else? Praise. Have something to brag on. I'm thinking of a man that used to come to our church. He was the most consistent grouch that probably we ever had in the church. Now, I would never call his name. I would never embarrass him. But it seemed like the only time he'd ever come to me. Come here, Jason. Come here. I know his name. All right. Eli, come here. So he'd come up. I mean, you know, I'm getting ready to preach. Where I'm shaking hands. I'm getting ready to preach. Hey, pastor. The ladies' toilet is overflowing. Well, number one, I'm wondering, you're a man. How do you know the ladies' toilet is overflowing? And number two, have you ever heard of a plunger? How old are you, sir? Do you know how to plunge something? I'm not above that. I'm getting ready to preach. Look, you want me to plunge and you preach? You know, why are you telling me this right now? So when you come to church, have something to praise. Amen. Have something to brag on. Be a little bit more lighthearted. Say something positive. Some of you say, it's not my spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift. Quickly, have an offering. He says, come with an offering. I've made it a habit for years. I give my tithe check. My wife and I tithe. And then we give above the tithe. We give to missions. And then we give to the building fund. And then I always give cash in every offering. If I go to a conference, if I'm speaking or not speaking, when the plate passes, I've always got something to put in. I want to participate. What's he say? He says, come with singing. Come with somebody. Let us try your best to bring a convert, bringing their sheaves with them. Come with gladness. Come upbeat. 110 times the word church is mentioned in the Bible. What a place. What is the purpose of the church? It's to mature and train us for the work of the ministry. That's the thing. The church is not to watch the pastor or a few select people do the work of the ministry. It's for us to mature, get our roots down, learn what we belong, deal with that world, get strong enough, get our walk with God down so that we're ready to do some work for Him. That's what it is. What were the activities in this early church? They were a praying church. You go through the book of Acts. Acts 2, they're praying for 10 days. Acts 3, two of the church members, they're just walking to the church to pray. When Simon Peter got thrown in jail, they were having a prayer meeting. You just see them praying all the time. If Baptists would pray as much as they search the internet, we would get a lot of prayers answered. What was this church about? It was passionate. They were soul conscious. I love that verse in the book of Acts where Simon Peter says, hey, did you get one of these? I just love that verse. And of course they see the crippled man, by the way, it's not in the Bible, but here's this crippled man at the temple and he says, what do you want me to do? And the guy said, man, I'd like to be, he says, alms. Simon Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's why we know he was Baptist. And then he says, but such as I have, give I thee. He healed the man and led him to Christ. They were soul conscious. This early church, not only that, they were a praying church, a passionate church, but a paying church. They tithed. They paid the bills. They gave offerings. Not only that, it was a preaching church. You'll see in the book of Acts, time after time, Simon Peter preaches, Paul preaches, Philip preaches. I mean, just so many sermons in the book of Acts. I miss one of our good men, Brother Matt. I don't know if you have someone like this. With a man years ago, and I visited him, first time I ever saw him was in jail. And his brother Cletus, some of you old timers would know him. Someone told me he was in there, and so I went to see him, and he said, I can't believe you're here to see me. And I said, Brother Cletus, man, you're related to someone in our church. I just want to see who you were and see what I could do. He said, man, I appreciate it. So when I get out, I'm coming to your church. I said, okay. Just a rough guy. Just rough. Rough, old school. And so he came to the church. He said, I like this church. He said, give me something to do. I said, I'll give you something to do. I said, we need someone to mow the lawns. He said, all right. He said, I know how you Baptists are. He said, I'm buying my own lawnmower. Don't let anybody touch it. I'm buying my own fuel. Don't let anybody touch it. I know how they are. They borrow stuff, leave it out, break it, can't find it. He said, leave my stuff. I said, oh, yeah, all right, man. There's old brother. He said, and I'll mow that lawn every week. He said, you never have to remind me. So there it is. Every week the lawn's mown. He almost cut his arm off in an accident at work. He's in a sling, all kind of stitches. He said, Pastor, I hate to ask you, if you'll pull the string, I can mow today. He said, I can't pull it with my left hand. I said, I'll be glad to. I said, how dare you make me do that? No. I pulled that string, cranked it up. There he was, mowing with one hand. A few weeks later, it is a downpour. It is raining cats and dogs. Brother Cletus has his yellow raincoat on. He's mowing through the water. He's just so old school. If I preached a hot sermon a little bit like this morning, if it was a little bit over the edge like this morning, I'd always get a note in the mail from Brother Cletus. I'd always get a letter. Dear Pastor, thanks for preaching the Bible the way they used to. There's not very many men around. Thanks for having a backbone. That's why I come here. And that was it. Man, if for no one else but Brother Cletus, I'd light up a sermon every once in a while, and I just knew that's for Brother Cletus. Church ought to be a place where we enjoy the preaching and we get something out of God's word. We had a lady that got saved years ago and started attending our church in Louisiana. She had been saved out of a lifestyle of, is the word, homosexuality or lesbianism. And she had been a performer. She dressed like a man and performed in nightclubs. And so she looked like Laurel and Hardy. She had the little mustache and she could twirl the thing. And real, real funny, I heard. Well, she got saved. And when she got saved, she got saved. And I remember she started coming to our church. She got baptized and she started walking up to people and saying, hey, did I tell you? Jesus saved me. I was a lesbian and I was a performer in nightclubs and I was living in abominable lifestyle. Just want you to know, I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm so and so. I was a lesbian. And I said, come over here. I said, shut up. Be quiet. She said, well, I'm just thrilled God saved me. I said, I'm glad he saved you too. But your business isn't everybody's business. Sometimes we're not supposed to talk about the secret things done in darkness and give detail to evil. I said, we want you to fit in this church, not have everyone say, there she comes. That's a lesbian. No one's business. She ended up coming completely out of that lifestyle. She married someone, had 5 children. She told me she put a sign on her mirror. If every church member in my church was just like me, what kind of church would I have? I thought, look at that. Look at that. She said, what'd you do? I said, don't do that either. Don't put that up. No, I'm just kidding you. Let me give you excuses people have given me for missing church. It's dark, you know. Here's another one. My kids won't behave. Well, that's a child rearing issue. My kids don't want to go. Well, that's a good reason to stay home. Don't let them go to school. Don't let them take their vitamins or anything. My mate doesn't like to go. We only go once a week. I'm tired. Now, let me just encourage you. If you're tired, this quote helped me so much. Paul Chappell gave me this. The world is ruled by tired people. And I said, that doesn't help me any, Paul. He said, well, I just want you to know. Anyone doing anything is tired. In the deep south, you're not tired, you're tarred. It's T-A-R-R-E-D, tarred. Well, I'm just discouraged. Church is the place to be. Well, I'm not right with God. It's the place to be. Well, no one talks to me. No, it's your fault because you don't talk to anybody. The preacher's too loud. Turn your hearing aid down. I missed several church services since I've been the pastor here, and I wrote some of them down. Had spinal meningitis on Saturday night. I couldn't stand up, didn't know where I was. I missed that Sunday. One time I had a total knee replacement on a Monday, and I didn't know where I was that Wednesday. And I shouldn't have. I spoke that Sunday. One time I had pneumonia on a Sunday afternoon and I couldn't stand up. And so I missed that Sunday night. Our family has planned our vacations around churches. Hey, where are we going to church? Wednesday night, we're on vacation. Hey, we're heading to Disneyland. What church are we going to be at for this service? It's something about it. And I just want to say this publicly. The NFL is not church. The Raiders is my church. You know, I'm sorry, but that's not church by a Bible definition. A boat is not church. Camping is not church. A trailer is not church. A cabin in the woods is not church. If it is, where's the offering? And where's the converts? And where's the baptizing? And where's the... And we could go on and on. Look, if you will, just for a moment. And we're just about done. Here it is. Look down in John chapter 20, if you would, please. John chapter number 20. And here we go. Here is one of the disciples. He missed one church service. I think you already know who I'm going to talk about. We've been bashing him ever since. Poor guy. John chapter 20, verse number 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, what day is that? It's like today, Sunday, and it's evening, so Sunday evening. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So Jesus showed up that morning. He also showed up that night. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be to you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, shh, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 24, but, look at the negative, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, we think he was a twin, research it, Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, why? Never says. All I know is Jesus showed up in his resurrected body. Thomas missed. Was there a quinceañera? I can't even pronounce the word. Was it a birthday party to go to? Did his mother-in-law just drop in? Was the fishing good in the Jordan River? By the way, no. Did he have a date and he was going to be on a sunset cruise? Where was Thomas? Was he sick? We don't know. But all we know is he wasn't there. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, two buts. Look at that. But Thomas, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's why we call him doubting Thomas. He missed the service, so he didn't have the faith that everybody else have. Verse 29, 27, then said he, Jesus shows up again, Thomas. So Thomas had to be called out, doubting Thomas. Then I want to give you just one other verse, and it's probably my favorite verse about the local church. Hebrews chapter number 10, for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 10, then I'll give you the points, and we'll hurry out before it gets dark. Hebrews chapter 10. I just love it. Verse 25. Verse 25. Joanna, we used to preach longer than this when you were here, huh? Or did it just seem longer? Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Church is assembling. He said we're not to forsake it as the manner of some is. But what are we supposed to do at church? But exhorting one another. And here's the key. And so much the more. There's a song. As you see the day approaching. He's saying we're to assemble. When we're assembled, we get encouraged. When we assemble, we encourage. And as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ, we need to assemble more. Pastor, you think Jesus is coming in our lifetime? Sure. Bible says at the last trump. President Trump just got elected. Be president 4 years. Got to be in the next 4 years. So there it is. Put it down. Let's get that Twitter out there. I don't know if that's what that means. I doubt that's what that means. But I hope it is. I hope he comes in our lifetime. The Lord is coming back and it is soon. We want to finish strong. We want to finish strong. I'm about to lose some of you, I know. I want to give you these numbers and then we're out of time. The sin of missing a church service you could attend. I want to give you this just quickly. The sin of missing a church service you could attend. Charles Spurgeon was asked, the great preacher in London, they said, Mr. Spurgeon, why should I be at church so often? They were around a fire. They had some firewood burning, keeping the church building warm. He took some, what do you call those, tweezers? What do you call those things?
Tongs.
Spell it for me. Okay, tongs. He took that tong and he grabbed a piece of red hot wood and pulled it out. And soon it went from red hot to kind of gray, kind of ash. And then he picked it up with his hands. He said, that's why you need to be in church every service. What is the, is it a sin to miss church? Not forsaking the assembly. I'm not talking about if you're half dead and you're sick and coughing and fever and you're going to infect your whole section and we're going to have to quarantine all the pews. That's not what we're saying. Don't be a martyr. Don't die during the service. But I'm saying it is interesting to me. You just look at the last 30 years, the people who are deathly ill and can't be at church on Sunday, but they're at work on Monday. And the kids that are deathly ill on Sunday night can't make it, but they're at school on Monday. It's just kind of an interesting thought to me. So what is the sin of missing the church service? Here they are. Number one, disobedience to the command of God. Disobedience. Number two, missing the opportunity to be encouraged. Someone said, well, why is church so important? It was a new convert. And I said, you have a cell phone? And they said, yeah, I got a cell phone. I said, you got a charger? They said, yeah, I got a charger. I said, why? They looked at me like, what? They said, if you don't have a charger, it doesn't work. Your spirit is your cell phone. Church is the charger.
Amen.
Without church, it doesn't work. Number three, you miss an opportunity to be an encouragement. Number four, we miss the opportunity of getting more faith. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Number five, it's a poor example to our family, the lost, and the new converts. Pastor says, hey, everybody get back to church. Hey, get back here Sunday night. New convert shows up and goes, where's all those people that was sitting on my row? Where's all that? Where's that guy that was shouting hallelujah this morning? Did he get enough to last him for the whole week? Why am I back here? It's something about that. I'm done with this. You may miss something wonderful. I was at a Sunday morning church service years ago. Must have been about 1972, 74. And back then, we just called them long-haired hippies. This guy walked in, and he was a Cajun. He had on white platform shoes when that was in style. Patent leather. I mean, the heels for guys. Those platform shoes, shirt unbuttoned a little bit, one hair sticking out. Had a necklace on. Hair down to here. Almost scary looking. Found out he played football for Central High and got recruited by LSU, got a scholarship. It's Keith Gomez. He showed up at church. He had an appointment with Brother Smith to see if he would do their wedding. His girlfriend used to attend our church there in Baton Rouge. And she said, we'll have to ask my pastor. You'll have to come to church with me. He said, I was raised Catholic. Well, you're going to have to come. He sat there. He heard the gospel for the very first time. I was sitting two or three rows behind him. Karen Smith, who speaks here, Karen Cavanaugh, she said, when I saw him, we just all started praying for him to get saved. Bob Smith gave the invitation. Keith Gomez began weeping. Stepped out in the aisle, came forward, knelt down, wept like a baby, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, came back that night and got baptized. I was there to see it. I didn't know he'd end up pastoring a huge church in Elgin, Illinois, starting a Bible college, preach around the country, send mission. I was there to see it. I'm glad I didn't skip that one.
Amen.
I led a man to Christ. His name was Mike Reeves. He was saved when he was a teenager, about 16. I was home on college break. Mike got saved. Most of his family was not saved. He had an older brother named Eddie, who was just a rough guy. Mike started witnessing to his brother Eddie and trying to get him to church, and Eddie wouldn't come, and just tough. I went off to Bible college, graduated, came back on staff there. Mike's there at the church. Everyone's praying for Eddie. He won't come to church. We had the coldest day in history at that time in Louisiana. It hit zero. And that's not good for the little crawfish. It was so cold, the buses didn't crank. The Mississippi Bridge, you couldn't cross it. It was shut down. The city was shut down. I wanted to get to church. I was able to get my car going, and I drove to church. It looked like just a few BBs in this huge bowling alley. I don't know if it was 20 people in the whole service that Sunday morning. There was no choir. I don't remember if the instrumentalists even made it. Brother Buchanan stepped up to the pulpit. He says, "Well, it's cold outside. It's cold in here. We're going to preach." Everyone wore their winter coat inside. And I said, "This is going to be quite a service." I heard the door creak. And in walked Eddie Reeves, who they had prayed for years. Coldest day in history. He walks in, sits down. Brother Buchanan probably preached on, "You're going to hell!" That was probably the whole sermon. During the invitation, Eddie Reeves walked into the aisle and came forward. I said, "Why have you come?" He said, "Man, I got to get saved." And I remember looking for his brother. "Hey, Mike, come here. Your brother would like to get saved. Would you like to lead him to Christ?" It's the sweetest thing. I'm glad I was there to see that one. I think Mike, his brother, was glad he was there the day his brother got saved. You just don't want to miss anything. There's a fear. And look, I'm an old timer, but I know about these things. Younger generation, I know what FOMO means. F-O-M-O. Some of you old people are saying, "FOMO, I don't even know." See me afterwards, $20, I'll explain this to you. It's called the fear of missing out. You know, I kind of have that fear. I don't want to miss. And I don't want to miss out on what the Lord's doing. Let's be a faithful church. Oh, by the way, it's interesting. Revelation 19, when we get on the horses, you remember this? The rapture takes place. We're in heaven immediately. We're rewarded for 7 years. And then the hard part, the part I don't like about Revelation, we get on horses. Who is a horse person? You enjoy riding a horse. Oh, put those hands down. Who could do without ever riding on a horse? My hand is, I don't even like the stick ones. They're kind of scary. We'll get on a horse. Don't tell Elon Musk. We're going to ride from heaven all the way down to the earth on these white horses. But when Jesus gets on his thigh, guess what it says? Faithful and true. Faithful means always there. By the way, if we gave out a perfect attendance pin for someone that's never missed any church service here, Jesus would get that one because he's here every service. Amen. Let's show up. Let's work through some excuses. More daylight. Let's get our families here. Let's try to get people here, and you'll be blessed because of it.